This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition. Corey and I are starting out the show with one of our favorite guests, Dan Oliver. You know, we were talking on Thursday with Dan about what was going on in the market. Dan felt that Thursday was a pivotal day in the sense that the conventional markets basically were collapsing. Dow Jones Industrial Average, when we recorded, was down about 237 points. S&P was down about 27 points. NASDAQ was down about 84 points. And at the same time, gold had rebounded, and gold was up about $3. Dan said, you know, no guarantees here, but in my opinion, Thursday could have been a pivotal day. Dan, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I'm very impressed with the work that John Hoosman puts out. And one of the things that he was writing about a year ago, actually, so a little premature perhaps, is some work done by a guy named Sorensen on bubbles. And the idea, if I can explain it simply, is this, that it's rational for an investor to stay in a bubble, even if he knows it's a bubble. Even if he knows there's, a 10% chance that every day he'll lose half his money, as long as the expected short-term gain overwhelms that possibility. So if there's a 90% chance he makes 5%, or 6%, he'll stay in the market anyway. And so that's why the nature, the characteristic of bubbles attracts rational actors, and it keeps them there because it offers them this gain. And it's why you see bubbles accelerate towards the end, because they have to keep going up faster and faster and faster to keep the rational actor in, because he expects to make more money and get out before they crash. And so what that means is, if you're in a bubble and you start seeing the market weaken or just simply not go up, it puts tremendous pressure on the market internals, because it means that all the people who are levered up playing the bubble all of a sudden get a little spooked. And if it goes down even a little bit, you can have the same effect. So, you know, the S&P right now is at 1970. That's not a huge decline from where it was a few weeks ago. But in terms of if the market has to keep going up to keep the bubble players in, that's a major move. And I think viewing that in the context of the short interest, the leverage on the New York Stock Exchange, the margin debt leverage, what that means is when the market goes down, all these guys in leverage are actually experiencing huge losses, not the percentage the market shows, but because they're levered a much greater percentage of that. So I think when you see the market roll over, you can see that starting to accelerate. And what gold is, in my view, is it's the antithesis of debt. So in a giant debt bubble, you would expect to see gold under pressure, and gold certainly has been under pressure as this last leap up in the bull markets have occurred. But again, today, even on the micro scale, you know, the broader markets are weakening, and gold finally is getting a bid. It looked this morning like gold was going to break through 1,200 perhaps and get some acceleration on the downside. And that's turned around when we're seeing people coming into the gold market. So, you know, it's too early to tell. And market forecasting, of course, in today's day and age is very difficult, partially because you've got central banks out there playing with prices. I read this week that apparently the Bank of Japan is now the largest equity holder of Japanese equities. I don't think the Fed is buying equities yet, although who really knows, is not transparent at all. But the point is that it's very hard to say that the market's going to collapse because of whatever dynamics are normally in play, because you never know when a central bank is going to intervene. But I do think that the central banks are overly levered themselves, and I think the Fed really has to think long and hard about, you know, getting more than all of the markets, especially in the context that they are tapering their bond purchases or purporting to. So I think that, you know, without that support of Fed, if the Fed really is tapering, without that support, you could see some major weakness in the market, and that could that create some major strength in the gold markets.
Dan, something that really stuck out to me this week, besides the almost continuous fall of the conventional markets, was a report that I read that focused on U.S. households and the percentage of their investment, their total assets, that is in equities. And this level that is just reached in Q2 of this year hit 35%. So that means that 35% of their total assets for the average U.S. household is in conventional markets. This is a level that we have not seen until 2000. And back in 2000, it actually managed to run to 42.5% before a pretty serious correction came. This to me just shows another aspect that there's a lot of money sitting in the market simply because people think that is the safe bet. And right now, and for the past couple of years, it has been because the Fed has had, I believe, everyone's back and the market in particular. And it does mostly determine what will happen in the Fed's eyes as to where the markets will move. But this is just another aspect besides the leverage factor that says maybe we are in a bit of a bubble and a correction, maybe not tomorrow, might be coming sooner rather than later. Your comments?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the consumer is definitely over-levered, has been for a long time, and you see this not only in weighted position in equities, a lot of which is driven by margin debt, but you know, I've been struck by the number of stories concerning the subprime auto markets that have been coming up lately. Some of the tactics these auto dealers use to get these poor customers to sign on contracts they don't understand at interest rates they can't possibly pay back. There was an article yesterday about how at least subprime lenders are putting in devices in the ignition switches so the satellite can turn off the car when the guy has to come to repossess it. And of course, when that happens, usually those loans have negative equity, so the borrower loses anyway. And normally when one repossesses a car from a subprime buyer, it might not be in the best shape. So the resale value might not be what you expect. So there are all these signs that the leverage bubble that the Fed has been encouraging. I mean, the reason why everyone's in equities and taking out lots of debt is because the Fed Reserve, the spokesman for the government, has been telling them to do this. And the Fed's actions have encouraged this by saving the market in 2008, by making huge amounts of credit available to people who really shouldn't be taking credit, by jawboning the markets higher for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, central planning doesn't work. At the end of the day, it's going to fall apart, and it's going to be very, very ugly because the savings rate simply doesn't support people buying, living above their means.
I don't agree 100%, you know, and you put it very interestingly, and probably the first time that what's going on in our economy right now has been characterized on our show by the term central planning. And I think you're very, very close to being accurate on that one. You know, something that hasn't been discussed very often in the press recently, and when I say recently, Dan, I mean in the last week or so, is the fact that the qualifications for people to purchase homes in many instances has been dropped again. Well, we saw what that did last time. I mean, I was in the middle of it with the bank that I was sitting on the board of directors of. You know, we saw what happened there, and it looks like history is going to repeat itself again. I mean, you got all these great headlines, you know, housing looking good, but they neglect to say, yeah, but lending standards have again been dropped. That is absolutely ridiculous.
I agree. And, of course, what's happened since 2008 is that housing itself has become a very lots of different a fragmented market. So you've got places like New York where housing is still red, red hot. I mean, of other places where housing hasn't really come back, what's happened is that big private equity firms have borrowed money from the Fed at zero, gone and buy houses, and then rent them back to the previous owners. And there's no real reason why the owners themselves couldn't in theory do it themselves, except that they don't have the same access to phony capital that the private equity people have. So the private equity investors make money playing the spread between the rates available to them as connected organizations and the available rates available to individuals, which of course is much, much higher. And so there's no wealth creation here. All it is moving money from the average person to these connected people who have representatives in Washington or the banks that have this relationship with the Fed and get the free money first before everyone else gets it. It's all these incidences of, you know, what I think is clearly central planning. It is central planning. When the Fed takes the most important market price there is, which is the cost of capital, and reprices it for just part of the market, right? Just the connected part of the market, obviously you're going to get huge dislocations of capital. You're going to get huge malinvestments in capital in long places. And that's what we've been living in this country for a long time. But it's gotten worse and worse and worse as the amount of credit in the system has accumulated over the past 40 years.
Welcome to central planning. Stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting
consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I got to tell you, Dan Oliver is a really, really interesting individual. His takes on the markets I find to be absolutely fascinating. He's right in the heart of it with being in Manhattan. Corey, he was just named the president of a major association, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, he was named the president of the CMRE, so the Committee for Monetary Research and Education. If you want some more information, visit their website, cmre.org. We're going to have Dan on a regular basis, so we'll get him to elaborate on that in a couple weeks.
Yes, we will. We have got Chris Temple on the line with us right now. You know, Chris is a guy who's been involved in this industry for a long time with his newsletter, The National Investor. Chris and I and Corey were talking off mic earlier this week about his take on what's going on in the gold market and how history does repeat itself. He has some very interesting observations on this gold market, basically stemming from what's happened in the past. We're going to chat about this for maybe a couple of segments, because we think it's really important to you investors out there, and I know we have a lot of you who are specifically interested in the precious metals markets. Chris, you're on, bud.
Well, thanks, guys. First of all, just as a little bit of a disclaimer, I've said this before, but it bears repeating here. Philosophically, I am a gold bug. I believe in gold's historical role as a store of value, certainly in comparison to the fiat currencies we have in this age. I'm in favor of gold, silver, tobacco, whiskey, anything that can be used as money and trade hands among people that is not controlled by the international banksters. But as a practical matter, when it comes to the markets, I am not a gold bug who is always thinking and breathing and eating and sleeping gold and recommending that you have to invest in gold and nothing else. Because, as we have seen in the recent past, the markets, which are a whole lot bigger than we are, doesn't always agree. So from time to time, you've got to duck for cover, you've got to reduce your exposure, and there are times when you load back up. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from this as a gold bug. But having said that, I have recently questioned how much more gold can drop. And one of the reasons I have given for that is not because I'm a gold bug, not because I think the central banks are going to destroy all their respective currencies. That's been a slow-motion process, been going on for years. But because there's a message that the Federal Reserve is trying to give right now, which will be destroyed if gold and other commodities, and now followed by stocks and corporate bonds, start to implode. And that message that the Fed is trying to give us is that, you know, we think things are getting better, they're okay. We think deflation has been licked. We're not going to go the route of Japan and now Europe. And that's not what the markets are starting to tell us when you look at some of these commodities, including gold, getting hit. So I want to give people a quick history lesson about a similar time in history to this. And this is an episode I remember vividly. I wrote about it extensively at the time. If anybody wants a version of my newsletter, from way back in October of 1999, the most spectacular trading gains we have ever had with a national investor, coinciding with the one point in time when, without a doubt, there was indeed a so-called conspiracy to drive the price of gold down. So some people remember that back in those days, the Swiss, the IMF, England, they were all selling incrementally their gold. Ingeniously, they picked the bottom of the market to do it, but they were selling their gold. Specifically, England, every 2 months, was selling 25 tons of gold. And back in those days, even though you had nothing in the way of price movements that we do these days, you could still make pretty good money on the gold market if you were a trader. And what would usually happen is that if that particular auction by the UK went badly and gold fluttered down, you traded in for a while with options or, you know, with some of the bigger gold stocks. You wrote them up 10, 20, 30%, and then you sold. Well, I advocated doing that in September of 1999 because already in the summer you had had the IMF that was talking about selling some gold slap down. That seemed to support the market. On the 21st of September, the next UK auction was coming up, and there was some inkling that there was going to be pretty heavy demand for that 25 tons of gold. So I told people to buy call options in some of the major mining stocks, load up on the stocks themselves as well. And sure enough, on the 21st of September, the auction came off well. In fact, two big mining companies, Anglo Gold and Goldfields, were among the leading bidders for this gold. So that helped to push the market up. But what I never saw coming and what nobody saw coming was 5 days later, as a sidebar to the World Bank meeting in Washington, D.C., we had unveiled what was called the Central Bank Gold Agreement. That was, as some people remember, where the 15 central banks came out, led by the European central banks, and said, we are going to now cap at 400 tons a year how much new gold we will sell or lease into the market. They were under political pressure to do that because a lot of the UN and some other people were screaming bloody murder over how these manipulators and, you know, the banks and even government selling gold were destroying the industry, and a lot of miners were getting put out of work and so forth. So that caused gold almost in a blink of an eye to go from the low 260s an ounce to $340 an ounce. And that happened within days. It got slapped back down under 300. But instead of getting discouraged, a lot of people had been emboldened and ran it right back up to $340 an ounce. Well, as it was on its way up there the second time, I had the good fortune in those days when I was in Washington a lot of knowing one of the key members on the legal team of the House Banking Committee. He and I would get together socially from time to time in Washington. I gave him a call, and I wanted him to name some names. And what I learned was that, indeed, the New York Federal Reserve, which people will remember, the Fed was not a party to the Central Bank Gold Agreement, was massively, through Republic Bank of New York, a bullion bank, selling gold and trying to push the price back down. And I said, thank you very much. I said, this party's over, and told people to sell. And indeed, gold went back down eventually to make a second major bottom in 2001, where it had started in the 250s before it got going for good. Now, why did the Fed do that? Nobody, again, saw this coming. And if you look at a chart, this was a moonshot for gold. I mean, gold was up 25-30% in price in almost a blink of an eye. A lot of people were caught off sides. And if you thought long-term capital management was bad, you were about to have 10 of them happen. And the Fed had no choice but to push gold back below 340. Now, when we come back for the next segment, I'm going to explain why to you it wasn't but a couple years after that that Alan Greenspan publicly and openly embraced a gold price that went well above that, because he was trying to sell the same idea the Fed is today.
Chris, we are going to be right back with you in the next segment. I think this topic is fascinating to look at it from a historical standpoint. I also have a couple questions on how the gold market stands today compared to 20, 30 years ago. So everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back with Chris Temple.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I couldn't believe it. Someone recently asked me if I had a facelift because I'm looking so much younger. I was stunned. How would that make you feel? It's because of my new anti-aging lotion that lifts, firms, and has dramatically reduced my crow's feet. You know you're ready to look younger. So call now and receive a GCN special offer. 1-844-500-0815. That's 1-844-500-0815. Or visit faceliftlotion.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
September is National Preparedness Month, so make it a September to remember by getting your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. On sale this month are 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit. You'll get one number 10 can each of high-quality Mountain House Chicken Stew, Vegetable Stew with Beef, Pilot Crackers, plus the highest quality dehydrated ABC Stew. Butter and potatoes for a total of 160 one-half cup servings. Retail value $161.41, but not this month. The Freeze Dry Guy offers the 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit for only $123.93. Save over $37. Plenty of protein, veggies, carbs for energy, and tasty, hearty, storable food with a shelf life of over 25 years. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the National Preparedness Month sale ends September 30th from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Is your money manager giving you safety and security? Wouldn't you like to make your money work harder for you? Then you should consider joining PhilsGang.com, where thousands of individual investors have successfully profited.
This year I'm up 60% on my portfolio. Following your system has been fantastic. I've been with you for about a month and a half now, and I'm already up 7%.
I've been in the business for a long time, and you're really one of the best I've ever heard.
Well, I just want to let you know how great, what a great teacher you are.
For over a decade, PhilsGang.com's Phil Grandy and Donald Cogswell have been teaching, coaching, and investing right along with all Phil's Gang members.
I want to thank Donnie for Market Wrap. I bought 2,500 shares of AUI and sold it this morning at $820 profit.
Why not join thousands of satisfied Phil's Gang customers today? Go to PhilsGang.com, PhilsGang.com, or call 877-600-4264. That's 877-600-4264. Call today.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Chris Temple. You know, Chris is a 30 or 40 year veteran of the markets, and I think the factors that he is bringing up right now, the historical factors, are things that people need to be aware of when they're investing in gold today. Chris, the microphone is back in your hand.
Okay, I'll wrap this idea up quickly, Al. Greenspan would not allow gold to go above 340 because it was going to blow up too many banks and hedge funds. But afterwards, what happened? We had the dot-com bust. We had a recession. We had 9/11. That made the recession worse. And you add all those things together, and there was the most serious talk in a long time that we were going to follow Japan into years of stagnation and deflation. Greenspan started more aggressively lowering interest rates. He said, I am not going to let deflation win. We're going to bring back some inflation and allow risk. And that was when he changed his tune on gold and didn't look at 340 as anything bad, 340 an ounce, but publicly, very publicly, welcomed the gold price that eventually went well beyond that, because that ratified what he was trying to sell us all on, and that is he's licked deflation. We don't have to worry about it. Prosperity is back, risk is on and so forth. And my point, guys, in going through that history lesson, you can tell it's animating again. This was the most successful trades we ever had with the national investor. I mean, 300% in about 3 weeks' time. And today, I believe the Fed, not that they're going to do everything based on the gold price, but I don't think the Fed's attitude is any different. And Mrs. Yellen has made very clear, all these central banks have made very clear, they do not want deflation. They're scared to death of it because then nobody can service their debts. And when you understand that, understand what the Fed and the other central banks are trying to sell, they don't want to see this decline in gold get out of hand or in these other assets.
Chris, let's continue focusing on this gold market. And I understand what you're saying. And the one, not issue, but one aspect that I want you to touch on is how the gold market today is actually different from how it was, say, 15 to 25 years ago. Right now we have the paper market, I believe, completely in control of the gold price. We also have many more powerful central banks that have their own agendas. So it's not just simply set with the trade between a limited number of central banks. And then we also have the aspect that gold is leased out and so many times over that I think some people don't even know who owns the gold or where it is. So do you think that these aspects of the gold market further confuse central banks or investors, or what's your take on all that?
Well, my take on that, Corey, is that in almost any asset class you want to look at, whether it's gold, whether it's copper, whether it's energy, whether it's stocks, bonds, derivatives, you know, securitized products, whatever, they are all that much more complex and interwoven, and there's a lot more big players and small players involved today than there was back 20 or 15, 20 years ago, simply because that's the way the world has evolved. I mean, the amount of so-called money in circulation and credit in circulation has increased exponentially over time. And with that, you've had similar increases in markets and types of ways you can trade and so forth. Yes, there are more powerful central banks and hedge funds and shadow banks around today. The market, in many respects, and this would take an hour to go into all by itself, the gold market specifically, is a completely different animal than it was 15, 20, 30 years ago, which is one of the reasons why I get so exasperated over some people arguing one way or the other in gold based on a world that no longer exists today. You know, back in those days, you had Barrick Gold, J.P. Morgan, Republic Bank, and a handful of other players. They were almost a gold cartel in and of themselves. They set the price. China was nothing in those days as far as a player and a determinant for gold. Russia was nothing. It was all the U.S. or disproportionately the U.S. That's no longer the case. And as we've talked about many times, you know, China has been aggressively acquiring gold. Russia has been aggressively acquiring gold. The emerging market nations that nobody talked about in 1999, they're a bigger presence. That could be for good, could be for bad. But yes, it's a different world, a more complex one. But that, Corey, does not, in my mind at least, change the idea that we talked about, that the Fed, in order to ratify that it has licked deflation, they don't want to see a collapse in the gold price. As far as, you know, talking about gold being leased many times over, what isn't? I don't care what asset you look at. They're all leveraged up to the eyeballs. They're all hypothecated umpteen times over. That's why we had the housing crash, because, you know, the shadow banks and these alchemists in the financial community did the same thing to mortgage paper. In fact, in a much bigger way than anything that's happened with gold. So I don't think gold is any different in that respect than any other asset. The question is, as some people have warned, you know, what do you do if everybody wanted their physical gold at once? I'll tell you what will be done. The powers that be through the exchanges will change the rules and say that, no, you can't have your gold because it'll be a systemic problem for the markets, for our way of life. You're going to take payment in kind. So I question whether, in most cases, any of this physical gold would ever have to be repatriated.
And that, I think, is a key aspect to the gold market. Chris, one final little thing. Do you think that these complexities that are inherent in pretty much every asset that can be traded now have only further enabled the central banks and big houses to control the price and almost make it harder for the average investor to make money?
No, I don't think they've made it harder for the average investor to make money necessarily. I think that they have been able to levitate prices on different things because these central banks and others have the hedge funds, the shadow banks and whatnot to do their bidding. But the downside, Corey, is that the risk on the downside, if all of a sudden all of those Frankenstein monsters that these Dr. Frankensteins at the central bank have created, if they rebel, then it's an open question as to how bad things will get before we get some support.
Which is actually, I think, quite scary because I believe that the central banks will continue to try to step in as much as they can to either maintain or make the markets move in the way that they think is proper. And we've talked about it multiple times, but the markets are not a reflection on how the economy is doing, no matter how much the Fed wants to say, by judging certain aspects that they are. And that, to me, is one of the scary aspects of the road that we are going down.
Corey, I got to tell you, I don't really disagree with you. I think that what was brought out in the first segment, the fact that we're really kind of in a planned economy right now, I don't think there's any question about that. I think we're very definitely in a planned economy right now. And Chris, I think that that's in a very real sense what you're alluding to. You know, I think that the important part of what we're talking about is as it relates to two very different reasons for investing in gold and silver. You know, you got the traders who make money in the short term. And then you have people like myself who don't care about the price. We buy gold, my family and I buy gold for one simple reason, and that is it's a hedge for us. It's an insurance policy, not just against inflation, but a hedge against a potential, God forbid, currency collapse or what have you. Gold and silver have always been the currency of last resort, and I think, in my opinion, that's the only way to look at it today. Chris, your final thoughts on that? We got about 30 seconds, bud.
Well, people, as you pointed out and did a good job of it, Al, yeah, there's an aspect of gold and silver where it's currency. It's what I've always referred to as your mad money. It's what you've got put aside if everything went kablooey and you needed to have some means to trade. You should have gold, silver, tobacco, whiskey, garden seeds, food, whatever. Beyond that, as an investor, you know, you have to, as I said in the earlier segment, you've got to load up when things look good, cut back and take profits when it's warranted. Incidentally, one real quick thing. This 1999 story was a fascinating one. If people want more of the history, just email me. I'll send you a free issue of that archive newsletter.
Okay, there you have it from Chris Temple. Stick around. We're going to be back to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Here and here, GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the show. You know, I hope that you found what Chris had to say to be of value. We take what he has to say pretty seriously. Another guy who we take pretty seriously is Valentin Schmidt. Valentin is the business editor of the Epoch Times. Pretty well up to speed on what's going on in terms of the new Shanghai Gold Exchange. What do you think about it, Valentin?
Thanks for letting me come on your show. And this Shanghai Gold Exchange is an extension of what has been developing in China over a long time now, where the Chinese realized, well, wait a second, we are effectively monetizing U.S. Debt via our trade surplus. So they have been then financing the U.S., monetizing U.S. Treasuries, which is kind of strange. So actually the bulk of their foreign reserves are in not only treasuries, but in foreign denominated. The bulk of their balance sheet, the central bank balance sheet, is made up of foreign currency. And in the long run, that's not good, especially if you have the Fed actively working to debase the dollar, which is effectively stealing from Chinese savers because they already gave away the products, and then they get the piece of paper, which is then worth less, so they can never cash in the extra value that they provided. So they figured this out a long time ago, which is why China, the last update I think they gave in 2009, they had 1,300 tons or something like that. Since then, they've been buying like crazy through Hong Kong, through Vietnam, I mean, wherever they can get their hands on. That's why you've got such a tightness in the physical market, because they basically buy everything. And I've recently spoken to a lot of traders and funds, and there's really a big interest of getting physical gold, and there's only one direction it goes to. It goes to China straight away. So they probably now have around 4,000 ton reserves, because they also confiscate their own mine production, which is fairly significant. I think they're the largest producer of gold, obviously under very environmentally strenuous circumstances. And this whole So they need the gold for several reasons. One reason is they need to diversify their reserves because the dollar is devaluing. And then the second reason is their banking system is highly unstable. So when the house of cards comes down, they need to have something to show for. And the third reason is if the house of cards doesn't come down, which is a probability, the more gold they have more, the higher stake at the bargaining table in negotiation when it comes to a possible international currency. So now let me comment on the exchange, because that ties in with this trend, because they've realized that the West is now basically moving away from gold. So you have all the big banks getting rid of their commodity businesses, and you've had all the scandals in the London Bullion Exchange, and we all know about the future manipulation here in New York. So they are seizing on this opportunity to build the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which has its own vault in the free trade zone in Shanghai, which is the biggest vault, at least in Asia, and they have another 55 vaults across China, and they are signing up everybody from miners to from refineries to mints to trading companies from across the globe. So they're really making a push to become the number one in gold trade, and I think they have a fair chance. However, I'm going to chuck in this word of caution here. They have another 55 walls across China, and you know me, I don't trust China at all. I would not like to have my gold being stored anywhere in China, and I'll tell you why. It's because just now, so the Shanghai Gold Exchange, the news was announced a couple of days ago. Now today we've got the news coming out that officially there has been at least $10 million in fraudulent trade. Now, those are official figures. At the Qingdao port, where they shut down the port because they noticed that stuff had been over-invoiced, I'm talking about industrial metals and precious metals, over-invoiced, rehypothecated, and basically went missing. And this is common practice in China. This is just one instance. So who guarantees me that those walls in China actually have my gold? And I've talked about the endemic corruption and endemic problems of trust in China in general, and basically being rooted in the communist system and the way the business works there, how people make money through corruption. I would not store an ounce of gold in any of these walls, but it's just my personal opinion. Many other people might not know this, or they might say, well, I've done business in China, and I've had good experiences, so I'm going to give it a shot. But that is certainly something people should consider. And the second interesting thing when it comes to this is, again, the link between so they're building, the Hong Kong gold guys are building an exchange in Shenzhen, which is very close to Hong Kong, and that should be linked to Shanghai, so it's similar to the stock link of the mainland traded stocks and Hong Kong traded stocks. But again, here, there is really the link of trust is very shaky. Of course, you're going to have some contracts, but that's really all you have also with the stocks, which on a side point is interesting to know that you really don't own anything if you buy Hong Kong shares. You own nothing. You have some agreements between the mainland company and the Hong Kong company to exchange profits and pay out dividends, but that's all you got. You don't actually own anything in most cases. So this could well be true for gold, and this highlights again the very, very strenuous and peculiar nature of how the Chinese do business. Now, if you compare that to Swiss walls, of course, I also don't have a guarantee that they don't run away with my gold, but they have built trust for hundreds of years, actually. The Swiss have built this kind of trust. So on a relative basis, that puts them at an advantage. And the Chinese, they have at least worked very hard since the communist takeover, actually even before, to destroy trust in their own economy and in their own in their own legal system, etc. Because you now had this guy, I mean, you know, this happens all the time. You know, you had this Uyghur Muslim who basically said, yeah, we want human rights. And they jailed him. Just they put him in jail for saying that. I mean, you know, this is the kind of country you do business with. And yes, they like money. Yes, to a certain extent, they protect foreign investors, but then on the other hand, they don't, as we have seen with the recent investigations, completely baseless against car manufacturers for alleged monopolistic behavior, which is a complete joke because all the big state companies are monopolies. So what's the problem? So you're completely at the whim of this infrastructure. So I wouldn't trust it.
Valentin, when this story came out and the actual Shanghai International Gold Exchange launched on, I believe it was Friday of last week, I thought this was a big story and a story that didn't get any publicity here in the U.S., and I'm sure that happened for many reasons. And the points that you bring up about the distrust and I guess just some underhanded tactics that China has used in the past is very valid. However, the fact of the matter is this is going to be a fairly significant gold exchange. And right now the price for gold is set in the West. We all know that. But the fact of the matter is the more the metals flow over to China, and if China one day does come out with updated gold holdings report, whether that is correct or not, it's going to come out much, much higher. And I think this will add even more credence to the aspect that we need to pay attention to what China is doing. We only have about a minute left, Valentin. As a quick little summary, do you think that this Shanghai International Gold Exchange could take over for the COMEX anytime soon?
Well, you know, obviously, Corey, you're completely right. You have to pay attention to what they're doing, but the point is you cannot trust them. That's really, you should take them on board. But, you know, in a time when people are willing to pay 27 times sales for a company that doesn't own anything, I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about, the recent big IPO, which also only has some contracts between the Cayman Shell entity and the mainland, then everything's possible. And again, I mean, it's all relative, right? It's not like the Western gold exchanges. They are the role model of honesty and transparency. So they obviously are giving this venture a big head start, where people say, you know, I'm fed up with this manipulation in the West. Let's try this, until that doesn't work out.
It's all very interesting aspects of what is going on in the gold market. Al, how do you think it's all going to play out?
Well, I got to tell you, I am very, very confused. I'm very confused, but in a sense, not really. And the reason I say that, Corey, is because I invest for totally different reasons in gold and silver. And our listeners are very well aware of that. In terms of, you know, where's the price going to go in the short term? God only knows. It is a very interesting, convoluted market. Hey, Valentin, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Good to have a person of your stature on the show, man. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced.
This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes heart and body extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.